More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload.
All right, news roundup and information overload hour. Here's our toll-free number. It's 800-941-SHAWN if you want to be a part of the program. All right, so we have a new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, Louisiana. This is him speaking immediately after being elected speaker. Here's what he said.
Kevin has dedicated over two decades of his life to selfless public service, 16 of those years in this House. And you would be hard-pressed to find anybody who loves this institution more or has contributed more to it. He is the reason we're in this majority today. His impact can never be overstated, and I want to thank him for his leadership, his friendship, and the selfless sacrifice that you and Judy have made for so many years. You helped build it, Kevin, and we owe you a great debt of gratitude. I want to thank the dedicated and overworked staff of this beleaguered house. They accept praise so stoically. But Miss Susan Cole, our House reading clerk, and yes. Listen, all the clerks and all the staff, you know, they're terribly overworked. This has been a grueling process, but they have served an integral role in keeping our republic, and we thank them for that service. I know we all do. I want to thank my dedicated wife of almost 25 years, Kelly. She's not here. We couldn't get a flight in time. This happened sort of suddenly. But we're going to celebrate soon. She spent the last couple of weeks on her knees in prayer to the Lord, and she's a little worn out. We all are. I want to thank our children, Michael and Hannah and Abby and Jack and Will. All of our children sacrifice. All of them do, and we know that. And there's not a lot of perks to being a member of Congress's kid, right? And so I want to thank all of your families as well for what they endure and what they've had to endure for the last few weeks. We've been here a while. I want to thank my faithful mother, Jeannie Johnson, who bore me at the age of 17. And my brothers Chris and Josh and my sister Laura and all their families and all of our extended family. In Louisiana, family's a big deal, and we got a bunch of them. I especially want to thank all the extraordinary people of the great state of Louisiana. We have never had a Speaker of the House hail from our state, and so they've been lifting us up. I thank the people of Louisiana for the opportunity to serve you in Congress, and I'm humbled by your continuous support. We will make you proud. To my colleagues, I want to thank you all for the trust that you have instilled in me to lead us in this historic and unprecedented moment that we're in. The challenge before us is great, but the time for action is now, and I will not let you down. I want to say to the American people, on behalf of all of us here, we hear you. We know the challenges you're facing. We know that that there's a lot going on in our country, domestically and abroad, and we are ready to get to work again to solve those problems, and we will. Our mission here is to serve you well, to restore the people's faith in this house, in this great and essential institution. My dad, it was mentioned, my dad was a firefighter. He was an assistant chief in the fire department in my hometown of Shreveport, Louisiana, a little town in northwest Louisiana. On September 17, 1984, when I was 12 years old, he was critically burned and permanently disabled in the line of duty. All I ever wanted to be when I grew up was the chief of the fire department in Shreveport. But after the explosion on that fateful day, he nearly died, and it was a long road back, and it's changed all of our life trajectories. I'm the oldest of four kids.
There's the new Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, Louisiana, here with reaction as former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, is with us. I'll be honest, I was kind of blown away at him. He's funny. He's a real great communicator. I'm surprised we have not seen him more often on television. Seems to be a guy that works hard behind the scenes, more quietly. But I think America is going to get to know him, but he comes off as affable, self-deprecating, likable, and seems to be, if he sticks to the Newt Gingrich formula of 90-10, 80-20, 70-30 issues, he will be a successful speaker. I hope he listens. What's your reaction, Mr. Speaker?
Well, look, I think this is sort of an amazingly American moment. Here's a guy who has worked very hard. He's been a very aggressive lawyer on behalf of conservative causes, including religious liberty and right to life. He ended up in Congress, worked very diligently, ended up as the vice chairman of the conference, which is, you know, just sort of in the outer fringes of leadership. And then by a process of elimination, it almost seemed like everybody who was truly important found that they had enemies. And so there was a process by which the conference got exhausted, looked around and said, we've got to find someone that we all of us can agree to trust. And Johnson emerged. I mean, I think that he, of course, and I were both watching it. It turned out that he and she follow each other on Facebook. So I think that probably speaks well of him and her.
That's pretty funny. You know, let me go back to what I was just saying in your introduction. Is if they stick to your strategy, which is there are so many important issues that are polling-wise, 90-10, 80-20, 70-30 issues. If he sticks to, you know, getting reining in government spending, if he sticks to securing our borders, if he sticks to energy independence, if he sticks to, you know, really, really, really diligent, you know, keeping Biden's feet to the fire on foreign policy issues, and they use the power of the purse, I think he'll be a very successful speaker. If he deviates from that, I think that would be a huge mistake.
Well, I mean, the question will be, and I was watching last night, there's a great picture Calista pointed out to me that I think it's in Politico this morning, of everybody gathered around him as they announced that he was now going to be the nominee. And I noticed Elise Stefanik, and right behind him, has a huge smile. And I think if he can listen to the conference, you both have to listen to the American people, and you have to listen to the conference. They're going to face some very tough decisions. Some of those decisions are going to make the hard right very angry because they're unavoidable. And there'll be purists who will be tempted. But my hunch is, or maybe I should say my hope is, that we've learned out of the last 3 weeks that blowing up a speaker is very, very dangerous and can lead to a nightmare. And so I hope that even when people disagree, they will disagree within the process and not try to blow up the process. And he's going to have to pass some bills on a bipartisan basis. There's no practical way around it, given the size of the majority. But if you think that Israel surviving really matters, for example, you're going to work out a bill that can be passed. Some people won't like that. The question will be, can Mike, Speaker Johnson, listen to everybody well enough that they feel satisfied psychologically, even if they're not always going to win on policy? Because that's just the nature of the business. You got 435 House members, 100 senators, a president. They're all negotiating. They all have agendas. And somehow you've got to be able to ride herd on that. And in a case where you have a 4 or 5 vote margin, you know, you don't have any great ability to just drive through things that are purely exactly what you want. And that, of course, drives some of our colleagues nuts. So I think the next big test will be, can he, over the next 3 or 4 or 5 weeks, get some very key things done in a way that the conference feels that it was the best outcome they could hope for in the current circumstance, And then can they shift and focus on winning a bigger majority next year so they can get a lot more things done? I mean, to your point about what we do at America's New Majority Project, where we're looking at polling data every week, we're looking for these 70%, 80%, 90%. It's just, we just got a startling number back. If you had to choose between a Republican who wanted to cut taxes and wanted to continue the Trump tax cuts versus a Democrat who wanted to allow the Trump tax cuts to expire and to raise taxes, it's now a 55-26 margin. And that's when you put in the word Republican. So you're peeling away, you know, people who normally wouldn't ever vote Republican, and yet the margin's literally slightly bigger than 2-1. Now, that would say to me, and as it would have said to Ronald Reagan, well, I know one of the issues I want to campaign on next year, and let people choose between a tax-increasing Democratic Party with a disastrous economic record and a Republican Party, which is now produced, by the way, balanced budget proposal coming out of the Budget Committee that would get you to balance, that has a clear path to a balance in 10 years, controls spending, begins to reform government. If Speaker Johnson can now bring those kind of things forward, get people to focus on those kind of things, he could end up having a remarkably successful speakership, and it'll be classically American. It's proof, you know, America is not a country where we have a Putin or a de Gaulle or a Mao Zedong. America is a country where everyday folks have a chance to make amazing contributions to the future. I mean, nobody designated Henry Ford or the Wright brothers or Thomas Edison or Elon Musk or anybody else. They went out and they did it. Well, we're about to see whether or not a guy from Shreveport, whose father was the police chief, was the fire chief, whether or not he can now rise to this occasion. And every indication we have so far, people like him. Brooke Rollins, who worked with him when she was in the Trump White House, said he's very solid, very affable. You could really get things done with him. And I think that's a real tribute. So my hunch is people are exhausted. Republicans are exhausted. They want this to work. They're eager for this to work. And they're going to do everything they can to make him successful.
Well, it's imperative that it work. If they want a shot at the majority again, a lot of the promises that they made, they're just going to have to simply fulfill. What I like about it, on the one hand, is for once now, if they follow through with the rest of their appropriations bills, and they had completed 4 of the 12 of them, about 70% of the budget, and they go through regular order and regular process to get there and achieve that. Well, once they pass those bills, they will be sent over to the U.S. Senate. And at that point, they will return. And that's where the real battle begins. And that's going to be a moment of truth for, I think, the Republican Party in the House. Are they strong enough to stand together and say, no, we're not going along with another $2 trillion in Biden debt moving forward? We're not going to do it. And if you're going to shut down the government to do that, we're not going to be a part of it. Then this is where I thought a missed opportunity was, rather than getting rid of McCarthy, is, you know, there was a 30-day continuing resolution with an 8% across-the-board cut that would also have funded border security by Chip Roy and Byron Donalds. That would have bought them time at that point, and they chose not to go that route. So what I'd like to see is the pressure now shift to the Senate and the pressure now shift to Biden. And I think that all of that is going to happen if they stay together. They'll win together or they'll lose together. There's not going to be some winners and some losers. Thoughts?
Well, I was encouraged in part because my sister Susan, who lives in Tennessee, wrote me a note this morning and said she had been donating to him because the Senate conservative group had told her early on that this was a great guy. He deserved her support. And she was thrilled because she sees him as precisely the kind of solid, you know, not noisy, but very stable, very solid. And I think that the Speaker has enormous power as an institution to say to the Senate, no, we're not going to do that, or to say to the President, no, we're not going to do that. That's the whole purpose of the power of the purse in the Constitution residing in the people's house. And my hunch is that Speaker Johnson is going to be very pleasant, but very firm simultaneously.
If that's the case, I would argue that would be a winning formula for every Republican in the House. And you would know because you're the last Speaker of the House to ever balance the budget. You did it 4 years in a row, and it hadn't been balanced for decades prior to that, and it hasn't been balanced since. And anyway, this is an opportunity for them, and I would look at this as a new start, a new beginning, and hopefully all the things that you're advising them to do, they will follow up on, because if they do, they can be successful. And if they're successful, the country wins. This is about the country winning. It's not about a party winning. Mr. Speaker, thank you, sir. We always appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Quick break, right back.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Jay Shetty, and I'm the host of the On Purpose podcast. On Purpose is dedicated to helping you be happier, healthier, and more healed. This week, I talked to Orlando Bloom in a rare interview where we went deep into how he got comfortable with fear, navigating the changes in relationships, and how to change the guilt and shame thought pattern. This conversation shows a never-seen-before side to Orlando Bloom and his unique life journey.
I think we all struggle sometimes to really deeply believe that we are enough, that we're valued, that we're valuable. You know, we're imprinted by our parents from the age of 0 to 7, right? Mm. I'm constantly trying to go, like, how do I detach from this idea of, is that my baggage? It doesn't look like my baggage. I mean, I know, okay, that's mine. Let's unpack that.
Listen to On Purpose with Jay Shetty on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, the extremism just never seems to stop. You've got Obrar, I don't know how to quite say it, Omaish, a pro-Palestinian school board member, objecting to a moment of silence for the victims of these terror attacks by Hamas. Just like it, I'll play that, and I'll play, you know, the Cornell professor, you know, that's exhilarated and just inspired by what Hamas did by killing 1,400 innocent people and taking hundreds hostage. Anyway, listen.
I wasn't expecting what seemed to be a sneak attack after we had discussed making sure we represent all children in the ways that we speak and when we speak. So it's disappointing that my colleagues would do that behind my back after conversations that I had with them in saying that a statement represents everybody's views. But many are thinking about the incredible devastation and human suffering unfolding today in Israel and Palestine. And we mourn the loss of hundreds of innocent civilians killed and homes destroyed this week alone, and the thousands over the decades, all of whom should have been prevented. It might seem simple, aggressors attacking families in a state seeking vengeance, but we often sympathize with and humanize the side that we relate to and the side that looks more like us or that our biases guide us towards. But doing so obscures the root of the violence. Centuries of human history teach us that escalations happen when problems are ignored, realities are denied, and voices are censored, when one narrative dominates from the world stage all the way to our classrooms. We do our students no favors by calling for peace and being unwilling to back what peace requires. As the old civil rights adage goes, no justice, no peace. When we're unwilling to call out the global human rights what global human rights organizations have called an apartheid regime of occupation that has been violating international agreements year after year and killing thousands of innocent civilians over decades, we are lying to our children. When we don't give space to hear the Palestinian narrative, we buy into a rhetoric that negates not only the humanness of Palestinians, but justifies the indiscriminate retaliation against the population. When teachers are written up for teaching the full context, warned that it might threaten their position, or are reprimanded for sharing a get-to-know-me board with a Palestinian flag on it, then we allow only the occupier's narrative to exist.
What has Hamas done? Hamas has shifted the balance of power.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hamas has punctured the illusion of invincibility.
Yeah.
That's what they've done. Yeah. You don't have to be a Hamas supporter to recognize them. Hamas has changed the terms of debate. The Israeli officials are right. Nothing will be the same again. Nothing will be the same again. Hamas has challenged the monopoly of violence. And in those first few hours, even as horrific acts were being carried out, many of which we would not learn about until later, there are many Gazans of goodwill, many Palestinians conscious, who abhor violence, as do you, as do I, who abhor the targeting of civilians, as do you, as do I, who were able to breathe. They were able to breathe for the first time in years. It was exhilarating. It was exhilarating. It was energizing. And if they weren't exhilarated by this challenge to the monopoly of violence, by this shifting of the balance of power, then they would not be human. I was exhilarated.
Yeah. You can't believe that in this day and age that you would have so many people sympathizing and defending the terrorist attacks brought to Israel. Not a war they sought, not a war they wanted, but it will be a war that they win. Anyway, joining us for comment on this is Chairman of the House Ways and Means Committee, Chairman Jason Smith, of Missouri. Sir, welcome back to the program. Are you as shocked as I am at how many people we have learned in this country, how many people are, you know, at the highest levels in some of our most prestigious universities that have been out there vocally supporting the terrorists responsible for the death of so many Israelis and the hostage taking of so many innocent men, women, children?
I am not just shocked. I'm disgusted by these statements in support of Hamas that we've seen in recent days. It is an understatement. Celebrating, excusing, or downplaying the horrific rape, torture, and murder of innocent people is the same thing as supporting violence or even calling for it. Releasing such statements or even failing to condemn them is unforgivable and runs counter to our values as a nation. And that is why I am so upset with what's going on with these tax-exempt organizations, these public universities that have tax-exempt special treatment, are allowing this kind of behavior and stuff to happen on their campus and not disavowing it. It's absolutely unacceptable. These universities are all about preferred speech. If it is about defunding the police, if it's about just protecting Israel, it's madness. And the fact they're not disavowing this shows that they are compliant with it.
Let me ask you, and I'm glad you're so outspoken about it, Congressman. Let me ask you about the selection of Speaker Mike Johnson from Louisiana. I thought he gave a very good speech today, actually. There's a lot to like about him and his record, part of the Republican study group. What are your thoughts?
Sean, Mike is a great American. I nominated him to lead the largest conservative caucus within the Republican Conference back in 2018, which is called RSC, the Republican Study Committee. And he.
Now, by the way, wouldn't the Freedom Caucus take a little issue with that?
With him being a member of the Republican Study Committee?
That which one is the most conservative?
Oh, well, they would have. It's the largest conservative.
Oh, the largest. No, they are conservative. You are correct. But I thought you said the most. I'm sorry. I stand corrected.
I may have said the most. I apologize. But it's definitely the largest caucus within our conference. And so he's also serving on the Judiciary Committee. He is a constitutional lawyer. And he is a product of the working class. The Republican Party is the party of the working class. I have no doubt that he'll understand the policies and values that affect small businesses, family farmers, and working class Americans, and he'll be able to help bring the Republican Party together and move forward for the next 15 months that we're in the majority.
What are the top priorities that you see for this now newly opened, hopefully newly energized Republican Party in the House?
Without a doubt, we have to have policy wins on securing our border. What's going on at the southern border is atrocious, and no administration should be allowed to allow that conduct to be taken forward. And so we need to be very strategic of where we can get policy wins on and protecting the security of our southern border. When you look at inflation going up 17.9% since Joe Biden took the oath of office, we have to address inflation. It affects every American. It's harder for them to put food on their table, clothes on their backs, or gasoline in their cars. And one way to do that is look at a debt commission. And I appreciated hearing Mike Johnson say that in his speech, because those are the things that we need to do. 75% of the spending at the federal level is all mandatory. It's automatic. And a debt commission is the only thing that can help us get that under control.
Well, if they don't get it under control, how many more years can we have $2 trillion of new Biden debt? I don't know how long that can last and how sustainable that all is. But, what is the latest? I know things have gotten delayed, you know, with the speaker upheaval that had gone on. Glad it finally got resolved today. I knew eventually it would. Now that it's resolved, what does that mean for your investigation? We have three committees now investigating what I call the Biden family syndicate, or if you're in Fulton County, Georgia, enterprise is the term they prefer. But that is about Joe Biden's involvement in this family business, the lies that he has told. The amount of money that is involved is tens of millions of dollars. The bank accounts, the shell corporations, everything in between. Where does that investigation stand as it relates to your committee and James Comer's committee and Jim Jordan's committee?
You know, I'm so thankful that we have the Speaker of the House, because it has been difficult in continuing the investigations in regards to the Biden family business entities. And I'll tell you, there is so much material that we are going through in the House Ways and Means Committee, the Judiciary Committee, and the Oversight Committee, and the connections that the IRS whistleblowers that came before my committee to the bank records that Jamie Comer is releasing is showing that they're both aligning. They are matching. And it shows that clearly, if you follow the money, it leads to numerous members of the Biden family, including Joe Biden.
So how soon do you think before this really gets We keep hearing from the media, there's no evidence, no evidence, no evidence. Okay. I see a plethora of evidence as it relates, you know, Joe said he was never involved, never talked to his son, his brother, or anybody for that matter. Well, we know that's a lie. We know about phone calls he's been on, over 20 that we know of for sure. We know about meetings with Russian oligarchs and others at Cafe Milano. Again, things that he said never happened. We know about tens of millions of dollars going into the coffers of the Biden family, including Hunter, and that it looks like Joe's actions as president, in the case of Burisma, he took official state actions as vice president that had a direct result of financially benefiting his son. What did his son with no experience do to get all of this money? That has yet to be determined. What did the grandchildren do? That is yet to be determined. How active was the Department of Justice that I believe has been weaponized? Were they in covering up and assisting and aiding and abetting a cover-up of all of these activities of Joe and Hunter Biden and the family? I'd like answers to that, too. How soon can we expect these answers?
You know, exactly the stuff that you laid out shows how complex it is, and that's why you have Judiciary Oversight and Ways and Means Committee all involved in it. Judiciary is going through the weaponization and how the Department of Justice definitely gave preferential treatment to President Biden and his son. The whistleblowers highlighted instances where the evidence was leading to President Biden, and you had prosecutors in the Department of Justice saying under no circumstances can we look into that. That's not how investigations work unless there's preferential treatment. We clearly see that from what the IRS whistleblowers gave us. The IRS whistleblowers just a couple weeks ago, Sean, provided information to the Ways and Means Committee that we released highlighting numerous aspects of where they tracked that there was official activity done by Joe Biden that was connected to Hunter Biden and the Biden family. For example, Hunter Biden even flew on Air Force Two to Mexico to meet with a billionaire individual who he...
Well, he flew on Air Force Two to go to China and Asia, didn't he? And financial deals were made then.
Numerous examples, and you're exactly right. All these countries, and clearly he was showing that there's an open door to his father, and that is the only reason why people would give Hunter Biden and the Biden family millions of dollars is because they bought access to Joe Biden.
Will the American people know beyond any doubt at all whatsoever all of the details of all of this by the time November of 2024 comes around?
Let me tell you, Jim Jordan and myself and Jamie Comer are going to do everything we can to make sure that the American people see the truth. The administration is pushing back on us every step, but let me tell you, I cannot stand prouder with two individuals as Jim Jordan and Jamie to have my back when we're pushing against this administration.
Chairman Jason Smith, appreciate you being with us. 800-941-SHAWN, our number. Keep up the good work, sir. You know, occasionally something great comes along and it's a game changer, and a game changer for the better. You know, microwave ovens, GPS navigation, cell phones, even the automobile. Start with the Model T, all right, and work your way down to where we are today, like the Corvette Z06 with the Z07 package, which I just happen to love. All right, that's going to wrap things up for today. We got a great Hannity tonight, 9 Eastern on the Fox News Channel. We'll check in. Yes, we have a new speaker. We'll check in with former speaker Newt Gingrich. He'll weigh in on who Mike Johnson is. We'll give you a full background on who he is. We'll get to all of that. Nikki Haley is on tonight. Jim Jordan has breaking news from the House Judiciary Committee that he will share and break tonight on Hannity. Piers Morgan, Emily Campagno, and much more. Set your DVR. Hannity, 9 Eastern, Fox. We'll see you tonight. Back here tomorrow. Thank you for making this show possible.
It's the Kia Summer Sticker Sales Event, so give your friends something to look at, like a B&B with an ocean view, an endless field of wildflowers, or a sunset that needs no filter. Make this a summer to share and save with a capable Kia SUV or powerful sedan. See your local Kia dealer or visit Kia.com to learn more. Kia, movement that inspires. Call 800-334-KIA for details. Always drive safely. Sale applies to purchase of specially tagged 2024 vehicles only. Quantities are limited. Must take delivery by 7/8/24.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.